All right, let's wrap up John chapter 8 from 2 weeks ago. We ran out of time and didn't get to finish that. So we'll finish that up and then enjoy some extra food and fellowship this morning. But John chapter 8, verse 12. I'll give you a moment to turn there. John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then they said unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." All right, so just kind of a little quick review. We saw three sections in this from John 8, 12 through the end of the chapter. We see Jesus as the light of the world in this passage, 12 through 20. Then Jesus is going to speak of his departure next. And those who follow the light can spend eternity with him. Those that don't will have eternal consequences. And then Jesus reveals himself as the source of freedom there in the last section of the chapter. Okay, so we've already looked at verse 12, Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. Remember the Feast of Tabernacles, the lighting ceremonies, and Jesus' correlation with that, trying to connect him with that in the Jews' mind. Then we have the issue with Jesus' witness. They said, your witness isn't true. And so Jesus now is trying to come back and say, yes, my witness is true. I meet the criteria of the law. I have two witnesses, actually more, but at least two. And so I am following the law, and you can believe my witness. You're just choosing not to. And then the last part here is the reasons that Jesus' witness is true. We ran out right there at the end on verse 18. But Jesus knew his origin. Jesus knew where he came from. He was confident in the truth and in his destiny, and in his destiny. He knew what was going to happen. He knew ultimately that, yes, he was going to be the sacrifice, but he also knew that he was going to be restored in heaven by his Father. Yes, he was humbling himself for a time, but God the Father was going to exalt him. And he understood that. He knew what had to be done in order for that to take place. Then Jesus also talks about the union between himself and the Father and the guarantee of the truth. And we said 2 weeks ago, we can't really grasp that. You know, the Jews didn't grasp it then, and we're not going to grasp it now. It's one of those things that we have to believe by faith. You know, how Jesus can be in the Father and the Father in him, and there two is one and one is two, and, you know, then you throw the Holy Spirit in there along with them. It's very difficult for our finite minds to get around that, because God is infinite. And God is so much more than we are. And if we could understand him, then he would no longer be God. Because then we would bring him down to our level to where we could reason and logic and understand him. And so we have to accept by faith that he is much greater than us, and that there's lots of things about him that we will never truly understand. But it was something that the Jews refused to accept. They refused to believe by faith and to strive to understand a spiritual concept that he was trying to teach them and give to them. And then the third reason that Jesus said his witnesses were true is that he and the Father were in complete agreement. You know, there was no difference in their witness. And if you're in law enforcement, you know, you ask two people, you know, to describe an event, there's going to be differences in that. Yes, they might have the overall same picture, but they're still going to have differences. There's still going to be little things that aren't identical. But Jesus says, my Father and myself, our witness is identical. There's no difference. You know, we're writing exactly we're reading off the same page. We wrote it together, and we are completely one. So then we say in verse 17 and 18, it says, it's written in your law, the testimony of two men is true. I am one, and the Father that sent me is one. So the religious leaders, again, they didn't understand the relationship that Jesus had with his Father. And as I said, if we're honest, we don't either. But the Son came from the Father. The Son was sent by the Father. We see that in verse 14, that Jesus came from the Father. Then we see in verses 16 through 18 that he was sent by the Father. So not only is he from the Father, but he was sent by the Father. And yet he is not separate from the Father. They are still one. They're still together. And yet they can still be two witnesses that are declaring the same truth. Then we see in verse 19, it says, they said unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you don't know me or my Father. If you'd know me, you would have known my Father also. And I really, you know, I guess in context, really what they're saying is, you know, where is your Father? Because, you know, if you're saying he is a witness, then where is he? So it's not really that they wanted to see him. What they really wanted was to question the Father. Because they didn't believe Jesus. You know, they were looking at him saying, you know, you're a liar. You're not telling the truth. You know, yes, you say your witness is true and that, you know, you're stating it, your Father's stating it. But where is this imaginary Father that you keep mentioning? You know, because we want to question him. We want to hear from him. And again, as was their habit, they were thinking purely in physical terms, in human terms. They had no understanding of the spiritual context in which Christ was talking. And they failed to understand that was Jesus is speaking as the Son of God, that the Father, that he was doing the Father's will, and the Father was giving him words to speak. So the words that he spake were the words of the Father, and vice versa. And again, it's a tough thing to wrap our minds around. And to totally comprehend. And then we see here, just really at the end of the passage here, he says, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. No man lays hand on him, for his hour was not yet come. Not really, you know, because we know earlier that Jesus was teaching in the temple, so it kind of wraps up the treasury here. It's really near the court of women. It's a very public place. Anybody could be there. So that's the multitudes were allowed to be in there. Again, the common people. And that's really where Jesus' ministry was. You know, he was trying to minister to the common people, to those that were willing to listen to him. Because the Jews, the scribes, all they want to do is argue. They didn't want to hear Jesus. They didn't want to try and understand where he was coming from, what he was saying. All they wanted to do was try to argue, combat, debate, you know, put him down, put him in his place for their own fear. Huh?
And keep their positions.
Right, and keep their positions of authority. And so Jesus was striving to minister to the more common people. The Greek preposition en or in, it wasn't that he was in the treasury per se. Of course, the treasury was where they kept the money and the valuables. So it's not like he was in the actual, you know, safe, so to speak, of the temple. But he was near that. He was nearby there in the court of the women. And that's where he was teaching. That's where he was discussing, where he was trying to talk and share things with the people. And we need to, you know, the takeaway here really is we need to be willing to go to all the world, of course, but to spend time with those that are wanting to listen, those that want to learn. You know, there's a point in time maybe to debate. There's a point in time maybe to argue some with others and to, you know, not be ignorant in those things. But ultimately, We need to focus our attention on people that are wanting to listen, wanting to learn. And that's where our time would be most well spent, or best well spent, with those people. And so, any questions as we wrap this up? I know it's really quick, but I wanted to finish that up from a couple weeks ago. Could get started on verse 21, but then it leads us into a whole new avenue. But any questions from verse 12 through 20? Anything? All your answers are your questions are answered, and you're full of knowledge. You're ready to go? Or is it just you're hungry and you want to eat? All right. Let's pray then, and we will spend some extra. We've got a little extra time this morning to fellowship. But Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can look into it, for the lessons that we can learn. And I ask that you would take just really the end of this passage and the fact of your desire to speak into the hearts of those that want to listen and want to learn, that want to know more. May we follow that example. May we strive to mentor and help those that are wanting to get deeper into your word or to know more about you. I ask that you would give us strength, that you would give us the health that we need to do that. We pray again for Luke's dad. Thank you that he's doing better. I pray that he would continue to heal, and that you would continue to bless and give Luke safety as he travels back home. Again, we pray for Linda, that you'd continue to aid in her healing and recovery as well. Eugene Tinklepaw, too, give him the strength that he needs. And thank you for that he's doing well in rehab now, and raise him up as well. And continue to pray for Mark's dad, too, and ask that you would give them wisdom for the days ahead there and other things that may need to be done. And I ask that you would bless the food and the time of fellowship. May we not rush out, but may we take time to get to know another brother or sister in Christ and to strive to find out what burdens others are bearing and carrying, so that we can help lighten the load and help them in those things. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.